This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers episode 121. Tom, top of the day to you.
Hello. Thank you for being here, physically here still.
Oh, you're so welcome for that thing. Nabil is here as well.
Mushy.
Ooh, very good. I understand what that's
Japanese
all about.
Today.
Yeah, wonder why. We kind of teased the fact that you were coming here last week.
Okay.
We said one of our most popular special guests will be back. And look at you, you're back.
And everybody went mad.
They were just crazy trying to figure out who it was.
I still haven't found that applause button.
No, we'll find it eventually. Right, we'll find it eventually. But it's kind of weird to think that this is the first time this year that you've been here because we share the same podcast studio.
That's right.
So you're here all the time anyway.
Last time when we did the like 2019 wrap up, I think. And man, just thanks for having me again. The love of being here.
It's always good fun.
And now a word from our sponsor. Far out hoodies are cool. Everyone says so, and we agree 110%. You slip that bit of fabric over the top of your head and man, you look just like a Jedi, but without the powers and not in a galaxy far, far away. They're so versatile, but only to a certain point. There's a couple of issues with them. One, you can't wear them in a formal setting, and two, they make you really hot and uncomfortable in summer. Which is why we've created the Tuxedo Hoodie with inbuilt air conditioning. Be the coolest and most badass looking person at, well, whatever event you're attending in the near future. For a limited time only, we are offering Tux hoodies with fully sick flames shooting over the shoulders. It's wicked trendy. Order yours online today.
Thought we'd do something a little bit different this week. In fact, Nabil, this is kind of one that we were sort of talking about a little bit, where you wanted to have a bit of a debate about things, about movies. And I thought, all right, I reckon Tom will be into that. And
I like a good gauntlet dropping.
Yeah.
So we're going to do it almost rapid fire, though, because there was just so many different categories that I came up with. I thought, well, we can't spend ages on it, otherwise this podcast will go for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any of us are willing for that to happen.
I mean, the intention is there. I want to. I just wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, that's right. It's physically impossible.
Yes.
So what we're going to do is there are different categories. I think it's about 12. We'll see how we go. Hmm. There will be 4 movies in each category. There's only 3 of us. Okay. So we get to pick one.
So someone definitely gets to be the runt of the litter.
Yeah, one movie is just going to get brushed. Mm. It's like a buffer. Think of it as a buffer.
Okay.
And then each person gets 60 seconds to explain why they think the movie
60
they...
60 seconds.
That's all.
Yep. All right.
Explain why they think their movie is the best of the category.
Have you got music to play us off if we're talking too long?
Like the Oscars?
Just like a slow clap or something. Yeah. That's not a bad idea. I do have my phone, so I might be able to find stuff. I'll be using the phone for, of course...
The 60-second timer.
Yeah, that's
right. Let me check what Bill says. He says we'll fix it in post.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks, Bill. You're a real champ.
Well done champing Bill O'Reilly. That's good.
Oh, thank you very much.
We'll do it live! Sorry, you brought up Bill O'Reilly.
I do not know why Bill's name has come up twice, 3 times this
in the
week?
Last week.
A lot.
Yeah.
That's blown.
And I'm also kind of a Bill. That's my Anglo-Saxon name. If people have a problem with Nabil, then I just say, it's fine. You can call me Bill.
Billy.
Yeah.
Billy.
Have a problem with N and A?
Yeah.
Okay.
You'd be surprised.
Believe me, I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm like disappointed. Yeah.
You should explain to people that they can call you William or Bill.
Bill.
There you go. Name sorted.
I love coming on this podcast for many reasons. The one of my favorite reasons is how quick on his feet Tom can be.
I came to play.
Yeah. He's had his caffeine today. All right, let's get into categories. Category number one, Disney animated movies from the 90s.
Ooh, this is my forte, girl.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I reckon I already know which one you're going to pick.
All right.
But I'll let you, seeing you are the special guest star, I'll let you pick first, then Tom, you can pick, and I'll pick out of the last two.
Deal.
Aladdin, Little Mermaid. The Lion King, Beauty and the Beast.
I mean, was there ever a doubt? A whole new world.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
It's got to be Aladdin. All right, 60 seconds on the clock.
60 seconds on the clock, starting now.
It's inspired by 1001 Nights, one of the greatest pieces of literature and also the most mysterious in history because until today, we don't know who wrote it.
Ooh.
It's a story within a story within a story within a story times 1000. So it's the original Inception because it starts with Shahrazad telling a story to Shahryar so that he doesn't kill her in the morning. It's fascinating on a million levels. It's got Robin Williams, for God's sake, as the genie, the greatest animation voiceover of all times. Friend Like Me will go down in history as one of the greatest songs, period. Not just in animation films, not just one of the greatest songs. It's reflective of my culture, which, of course, I think is the best culture in the world.
20 seconds.
It's got amazing music other than just Friend Like Me.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not even going to use those 15 seconds
because
I think that kills it.
I am a little worried now, Tom, because he brought in facts that I didn't even know.
I don't know. He used all three wishes.
Very good. No lifelines. Very good. Very good. All right. So, Tom, that means you have Little Mermaid, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast.
It's Little Mermaid for me.
All right. You ready to go?
Sure.
Go.
It has my favorite racist lobster crab. She's best friends with a yellowfish called Flounder, which... if that was a person, you'd throw it back in the ocean. Bit of an idiot. Great songs. Probably the best villain. Ursula is a fantastic villain.
She looks good too. Like it's visually.
Poor, unfortunate souls. Yeah.
Emanates evil.
Oh, yeah.
But also there's a litheness to her and everything. Yeah, and it really works as an octopus. You've got a really messed up story about someone trying to trade, having like a tail and a clacker for legs and lady bits.
Also a voice.
And a voice.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And that's I don't think you'd get away with that in the Me Too movement of willingly trading a woman's voice to get
seconds.
A man. So I've probably painted it poorly, but it's a great film. And it's a good Disney ride if it's a hot day.
You're
and
done.
The air conditioning's on.
That was pretty impressive.
Fun fact, in the Disney Arabic dubs, the lobster is also racist in Arabic, I'll have you know.
Fantastic.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes. He's
brought the racism over.
Of course. You got to import. If you got to do it, you do it
wrong. Do it right.
You do it wrong. The Disney dubs were used to be done in an Egyptian dialect, which was the most widely understood amongst Arabs at the time. And then the lobster, just the lobster, was Sudanese/Nubian dialect.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. To carry over that essence of the racism of him being African in the original film.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. This is why we have him here.
So I don't know if that gives mermaid points or takes away from it.
Well, in reality, we don't have a judge, so it doesn't really matter.
No. That's right.
Yeah. We're all learning.
Whose line is it anyway?
Yeah,
that's right.
Just thinking
right.
that. I was thinking of the Drew line where the something something and the points don't matter.
and QI where suddenly Stephen Fry will give someone 1,000 points.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't.
He's very flippant with points.
Yeah,
I don't
is.
Like that.
Really?
No, I prefer a tough judicial system around points.
All right. I'm going to pick from The Lion King and Beauty and the Beast. I think it's going to have to be Beauty and the Beast, and I will tell you why because the clock has already started. You have got Angela Lansbury in there singing songs as a bit of crockery. And I think that's brilliant. You've got the story of a young lady who just wants to go and make friends with someone super ugly because looks aren't that important. But at the end, of course, they are super important because then he becomes a really handsome man. Kind of like Little Mermaid in the fact that it's all about the handsome prince in the end.
Mm-hmm.
I like Chip. I think Chip's really good. And do we know, was that Jonathan Taylor Thomas or was he only just the Lion King?
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
I think
either.
He was just Lion King.
But there are great songs in there, and that one doesn't have Emma Watson, but if you wanted to, you could watch Emma Watson's later. And that concludes my whole entire 1 minute now.
Nice.
Nice. I enjoy a flaming candelabra.
Oh, yeah, candelabra's fantastic.
Lumière.
Lumière.
What a great name.
Yeah. So French. You are so French right now. Très bon.
Life is so unappealing. We'll get charged a lot of money.
Do you know I didn't pick Lion King?
I'm surprised, actually, you didn't go for Lion King.
I mean, cats are amazing, but...
Too much farting from the warthog?
It gets sad because something sad happens.
Right.
This is true.
And when something sad happens to an animal in a movie... That's the only time I'm ever going to watch it.
That's why it had so much impact.
I know. It still impacted me, and I watched it in 1993 or whenever it came out.
Yeah.
I mean, I have watched it since, but...
Fun fact about Lion King. That was actually the very first cinema experience ever for me as a human being.
Oh, really?
And I went with my cousin, whose mom took us both to the movies that day. And I still remember that feeling until today. I felt like Leonardo DiCaprio entering the rich section of the Titanic for the first time. That's kind of how it felt.
Right. Okay. Fantastic. Did you have popcorn? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I'm sure we got some kind of candy, but
you surely
you
had
popcorn.
To have something.
Yeah, cotton candy maybe or something.
Good pick.
Did we just spend as long talking about The Loser or longer?
Yes, essentially.
I love longer, Lion King as longer. Well. That was a difficult category.
It was
to pick from.
Well, do you want to try the next one?
Let's do it. I'm actually going to spice it up a little bit by not just defending my movie, but by taking a shit on the others.
Yeah, go on. Oh. Just this is the rules are very loose.
So you're moving from first chair and debating to your second chair now.
Exactly. Right. Oh, this man knows his debating rules.
Hello, I was third chair.
Oh, really?
Yep. No prep time. Just show off and hang
Hello,
shit.
President of the Georgetown Debating Society.
I picked the right people for this. Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, you got four to pick from. Tom, you will be the first one to pick this time because we play fair. Twins, Terminator 2, Total Recall, Kindergarten Cop.
Oh,
wow.
You didn't say my favorite. I'll throw it out there. Jingle All the Way.
So close, but then I thought you would be the only one who would want to pick that one.
It's just because then I can do... Okay, or yeah, I want to yell about cookies. All right. I'm going to go Total Recall,
Total
and you
Recall.
Already know this story, but I think you did this to set me up for the story.
You have 60 seconds to tell the Total Recall story now.
In year six, I got in a lot of trouble because we had movie days at school on rainy days, and being the nerd that I am, I always brought in movies for everyone to watch, and my dad had been given a Christmas hamper with some stuff in there, and there was a film called Total Recall, and my dad said, this movie's great, so I took it in. Year six, we're about 11 or 12. Yeah.
That is not a year six appropriate film.
Not at all. So I must have covered the R rating up with my thumb when I handed it to the teacher or something. We started watching it and we got through the point of, baby, you make me wish I had three hands.
Oh, my God.
So you've got 11-year-old boys in the dark being exposed to a woman with three boobs. And I think we got up to the bit of Richter being thrown down the elevator shaft and his hands getting
seconds.
Caught as the thing comes down and cuts his hands off. And he goes, see you at the party, Richter, and throws his hands down. After. Anyway, I had to have a chat with the vice principal of the school. And it was the closest I'd ever gotten to a detention up to that point because of three boobed women and severed hands from Jesus. Total Recall. Thank you, Arnie.
That was... Spot on, a minute and 1 second. You did very well.
Brilliant.
I've rehearsed that story well.
And that's the reason that's your favorite film.
Yep.
Wow. Memories. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about.
Of course.
Nabil, that means you can pick from Twins, Terminator 2, or Kindergarten Cop.
All right. My pick is Terminator 2. First of all, one of the most influential films in pop culture until today,
Agreed.
Even though it came out. God knows how many 92? Years ago. Almost 30 years ago now.
Yeah.
I mean, Hasta la Vista, baby. People still reference these in songs until today.
Mm.
Kids who were not born in this era know the Arnie lines from Terminator 2. It was when he had his best form, not just as an actor, but also physical form. God, it's just such a good movie on so many levels. Dun, 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 like the music. James Cameron at his best.
Come on, the Mercury Man.
The Mercury.
Like,
oh, my God. The 20 seconds. The effects, the graphics.
It
thank
was
you
amazing.
For that. It was insane, mind-boggling. It still holds up until today. I've watched this movie today, and the effects are still just as good. I mean, how do you compare that to anything else in the category?
Well, you can't, and you've done it with 5 seconds to spare. And I will start by saying my pick is Kindergarten Cop. And you're right, it can't compare to Terminator 2 because he's pretending to be a kindergarten teacher. And, of course, you've got the iconic lines like, boys have penis, girls have vagina. And it's not a tumor. And I love the fact that there was the principal, the tiniest lady in all of the land, but she still managed to control Mr. Undercover Cop there. Meanwhile, how on earth did they allow him? Why did they allow him to be the teacher? When can you imagine trying to do that in this day and age? There's no way anybody would be allowed to do that. But there was the love interest and the evil dad with his cool ponytail with his ears sticking out, and then the quirky cool kids. Was there a Thora Birch in there as well?
I think so.
I think there was, and she went on to become a whisperer where she wears a dead person's face, and that ends my discussion.
Nice.
Beautiful.
It was a good movie, though.
I would have bet good money that your pick would have been Twins.
I put Junior above Twins.
I know.
Junior is very good. Emma Thompson's hilarious in that.
And that's the reason
why. She makes
why.
That movie.
That's I actually haven't why. Watched that.
It is fantastic.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right, amazing. That's it.
It really complements Twins really well, but just Junior has a special place in my heart.
I know what we're doing next movie night.
Yes, absolutely. All right, this is one that... I'm going to be honest, I have not seen all of these movies, but I think I've made enough of a buffer so that I don't have to pick the one that I didn't watch. But it's a gamble. We'll see how we go. Nabil, World War II films, Saving Private Ryan, Pearl Harbor, The Imitation Game, or The Book Thief?
Oh, these are all different. So I... God, the pressure. All right. You know what? I'm going to go with the not-so-obvious one, I think.
Do it.
Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
This is one, potentially the one redeeming Michael Bay film.
Oh. Ooh.
I don't know if you look at the rest of his repertoire, everything else he's made, this one is the one that, I don't know, I kind of enjoy, even though it's still over the top and it's got all the Michael Bay-y things that you expect them to have.
Yeah.
It still got me, man. It's popcorn. I know it's unhealthy. I know it's fried chicken.
It's long.
It's not historically accurate by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm a poli-sci major, so I know that stuff.
Hey.
And it was still just an incredibly fun movie to watch. You totally get into the spirit of, yeah, America. Like, the Japs. You know, it's kind of connects to my mushy mushy at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, you've done well.
And... yeah, just explosions. Need I say more?
No, you can't say any more. Just out of interest, how many times do you reckon you've seen it? Just the once?
I think just the once, once and a half maybe.
Or yeah. That's the one that I haven't seen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm glad. Thank you. Thank you for picking that one. All right, Tom, you have got Saving Private Ryan, The Imitation Game, or The Book Thief?
Clearly I'm going for Saving Private Ryan.
Go. Mm-hmm.
In rebuttal to my esteemed previous speaker, I would like to point out that Cuba Gooding Jr. was in that film.
That's
a knock against it.
Okay.
All right. So in regards to Saving Private Ryan, you've got Vin Diesel in his first major role being taken out by a sniper, which is great. You've got Barry Pepper, who is an always reliable character actor.
And his last name is Pepper, which is fun.
Yeah. I can't believe I've forgotten his name, but the guy that played Daniel Faraday on Lost, who is the nebbish medic. There's just such an amazing cast of characters. You've got Matt Damon really stepping up to the big leagues.
Who?
Matt Damon. Stepping up to the big leagues, coming straight off Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks being America's sweetest heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like Tom Sizemore before the crash. You think through that film, there are so many people in there that make you go, man, this film really holds. Giovanni Ribisi.
The man you
take home to meet your parents.
You've hit a minute.
That's enough. I just listed cast.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Well, it was an enormous cast.
Solid cast.
I will concede that Saving Private Ryan is a better film.
Yeah,
I don't think you were going to get much pushback on that.
Yeah, I think we're going to go with that one. I'm going to go Imitation Game because I remember watching that at the movies and I had heard about the story beforehand. So I knew that it was a real story and I'd read up on this guy's history and it was a bit gut-wrenching to know that somebody had to go through that who was so incredibly clever and managed to figure this out. And you've got Benedict. He was so good in that. I think he won the Oscar for it, didn't he? Or at least nominated. Maybe he won the Oscar for the year after or something like that.
I'm definitely a Cumberbatch, so I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, he was so very good. And I enjoyed the fact that I was able to sit there because I was sitting with family members who were from all different sort of generations and we all individually really, really liked it. Went to have dumplings afterwards, which obviously makes a movie better. And we sat there and only talked about the movie for the whole dinner. And that tells you when it's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was amazing.
No, brilliant for sure film. And just like to learn about his story and what happened to him and like to be chemically neutered.
That is all sorts of not right.
Yeah, it was his personal story and the triumph of his career as well and like for like pushing science forward and advancing us in that way.
Mm.
No, incredible pick as well.
I'd watch it again. I reckon it's been long enough that I'd go back and watch that one again.
Lightning round. Didn't know this.
Yes.
Quick question. If you had to pick, what is the best or your favorite Michael Bay film? Go.
Maybe the first Transformers because it was just ridiculous. Like it was all the explosions.
Uh-huh. Definitely watch it for the Megan Fox. I mean explosions. I was like 17. Don't judge me.
Yeah, well, you can't be.
For me, it's a toss-up between Bad Boys 2.
Which oh, that was
Bad really Boys 1 yeah, is a better film, but Bad Boys 2 is peak base stylistic stuff before he gets into the CGI robotness. Mm-hmm. Or I really enjoy Pain and Gain. It is not a pleasant film.
Really?
Not a pleasant film at all. But he gets some really, really interesting performances out of both The Rock and Wahlberg. And Anthony Mackie but just I don't know.
Wahlberg.
It's a trashy movie and it's Bay leaning into his worst excesses and the film works for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think Pearl Harbor still.
Oh yeah, okay. So you stand by.
I'll stand by my pick from the last question, yes.
This is probably my favorite category. Movies with zombies in them.
Ooh.
Tom, I think it's your... Yeah, you get to pick first one. World War Z, 28 Days Later, Zombieland, or the one I know you're going to pick, Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, so Shaun of the Dead, at last count, I've seen 46 times.
Holy
what? I don't know. There was a period there where I pretty much watched every Saturday morning for months on end. A film is just a comfortable blanket. And it works on many, many levels. Like, it's very rewarding the first time you watch it because there's reveals and pullbacks and you learn about it as you go. But if you go back and watch it the second time, you understand that the reveals are actually paying off jokes that have been set up further. And then by about the sixth watching, you realize that the exact same conversation happens at the beginning of the film, halfway through Act 2 and the beginning of Act 3. They've actually sequenced the film. So it's the same film in different genres. At first, it's a romantic comedy. Then it's an end of the world thing.
20 seconds.
And then it's an acceptance of jettisoning your childhood and becoming a man.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's actually like surprisingly deep, that film, when you go and watch it from a critical lens of the stuff that they buried in there. It's amazing.
You hit a minute. There's a video of Simon Pegg. I think it's just him. And they go through particular scenes and he keeps like stopping them. It's almost like a director's commentary on a DVD. It's really interesting. I just look it up on YouTube.
It might be from GQ. I think it is.
Yeah. It was insightful because I haven't seen it for a few years.
I could talk so long about that film.
So minutes not long enough for you.
Coldplay are all zombies in there.
Could you lip sync the movie scene by scene if you watch it 46 times? Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
That's really impressive.
I can add the musical cues too.
No way. 46 times. That's more than I've watched V for Vendetta.
How many times do you reckon V for Vendetta for you?
I think around like 17 or 18.
That's a lot.
Not 46 a lot.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. It's a perfect film.
Wow.
It's perfect.
Now this is such like a statement to make. I'm not going to have to go back and watch it again.
Look, the same way I loved Parasite. I don't need to watch it and pull it apart. But there are people who are sitting there and pulling apart frame by frame. That's what I'm like with that film. Because you can go through and recognize zombies in the background. People, Rob Brydon's in one shot before he was Rob Brydon. You know what I mean? There's all these people that were.
There's so many layers
coming up.
And, yeah.
People from The Office, the English Office.
Michael Smiley's in there.
Yeah. Not to mention Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, name a more dynamic duo.
Oh, they
don't like each other anymore.
Wait, for real?
Yeah.
Why?
Because Simon ditched him to go to Hollywood.
I mean, yeah, he did.
It's what happens with a lot of these creative partnerships.
Yeah.
I'm sure they get along just fine, but it's not like they used to be of living in each other's house and pocket and stuff.
Of course.
You're never going to be like that. All right, you've got to pick from World War Z, 28 Days Later, and Zombieland.
Is there even a point? I mean, he kind of won that round, hands down.
I know, but we've got to give it a crack.
All right. They're all great films. Again, I'm actually going to go with 28 Days Later because when I watched this movie, I had never, ever seen anything like it before. Mm. I've never seen a film that had created such a sense of mystery and terror and not knowing what's going to happen next. Not even knowing what is. I think it might have also been my first zombie film watch ever.
Yeah.
A movie about zombies. It sort of set up that genre for me. And so I'm picking why it's my favorite film, not necessarily why it's the best in that category.
Mm.
So it's a very subjective opinion here. The guy, what's the name of the...
Cillian Murphy.
Yeah, Cillian Murphy. I love him in most things. Mm. And he was great in that as well. Yeah, just fantastic all around. It's terrifying. It's like how zombies... That's how zombie movies should be.
Fast.
Yes.
Fast zombies.
See, it's interesting because that's your first... Exposure to zombies. And I found talking with people that anyone that saw that, because that was the one that brought zombies back. They'd been dormant for years before.
Really? Okay.
They'd, you know,
dormant zombies.
Day of the Dead had happened late 80s. That was kind of the last big zombie film. And then that one brought them back as they're not technically zombies. They're rage-infected humans.
Right.
You know, the rabies, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a clear divide with people that that watched slow zombies first and enjoy the social commentary of being taken out by a horde.
Right.
Versus people who watched 28 Days Later or Fast Zombies first, and it's the idea of being crushed by...
Stampede.
Yes.
Was this the first movie to do Fast Zombies?
Yes.
Ever. So they came up with that.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's why they made such a point of they're not zombies. These are people that are technically still alive, but their brain has been taken over by a virus like rabies.
Right. I mean, I don't know why you'd make that distinction because it's not like zombies are actually a real thing.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
All right, so I've got to pick between World War Z and Zombieland.
Both still strong choices.
Yeah.
I think the reason I'm going to pick Zombieland is because if World War Z was like more like the book, I would 100% pick that because I really like the chapter-to-chapter thing in the book. And in the book, they were slow zombies.
They were.
But in the movie, they were fast. So Zombieland, I think I'm going to pick because the cast is amazing. I mean, you've got so many people who were well-known then but are even more well-known now. And the fact that you've got a sequel is very exciting. But my all-time number one favorite part, and it's not the Bill Murray part in Zombieland, is the bit where she's up on that ride that,
I know exactly
that drops down and it keeps dropping down. The zombies are trying to climb up as well. That bit is not only hilarious, but it's also stressful because if you're going to make a zombie movie, you've also got to have bits where you're stressing the hell out. You're like, they're going to get her.
It has a zombie clown at that bit.
Yeah. And I think, because I only watched it maybe 4 months ago, it holds up brilliantly. The jokes are still hilarious. And I think it's probably one of my favorite zombie movies out there. So thank you for not picking it, guys.
Also, I think the only... God, how am I losing his name now?
Woody Harrelson?
Nope, the other one.
Jesse Eisenberg.
The only palatable Jesse Eisenberg movie for me. The only one where I can actually swallow him.
He's an acquired taste. When I first saw Adventureland, I don't think I'd seen him in anything before, and I quite liked him in that. But now I realize going back that that's just the character that he plays.
I quite like him in American Ultra.
But that I still haven't watched that, but that did look good.
It was good fun, but it's a film that's been marred by a lot of the people behind the scenes since
really?
Then.
Problem is he's so one-dimensional as an actor. He really doesn't have range. But they keep putting him in things that are outside of his range, but he just keeps playing Jesse Eisenberg.
Well, this one is entirely within his range and it works.
Exactly. So whenever they put him in a movie where the character is that,
is him. Yeah.
Totally works.
I can't remember what it's called, but he was in that Richard Ayoade film where he was not twins, but he was a depressed, like he was depressed and hated work. And another version of him shows up that's better.
I know the one you're talking about. Yeah.
He's pretty good in that.
Really?
There's a bit of range there because he was playing two versions of himself.
All right. I know him as Lex Luthor. I know him obviously in The Social Network.
Yeah. Which was good for him as well.
Yeah. Although I actually now know that his depiction of Mark Zuckerberg has nothing to do with Zuckerberg.
Sure.
Mm.
Yeah. He was, and he wasn't going for that.
Too much blinking.
That's probably the safe option. Let's move on. Movies based on a true story. Nabil, it is your turn to pick first. Walk the Line. Ooh. Apollo 13, The Wolf of Wall Street, and Apocalypse Now. That was the wind that just went through.
From Apocalypse Now.
It was half an hour's worth of the movie.
Apollo. What were the first two options again?
Walk the Line and Apollo 13.
None of these are actually in like even my top five favorite biofilms, but or like based on a true story. So I'm going to go with, God, I have no idea which one to choose. What was the first one again?
Walk the Line.
Gonna go with Walk the
Line.
Okay,
go.
First Joaquin Phoenix movie that I saw where he was like really the central figure, not like in Gladiator.
Yeah.
He was really, really good in that. The music was really good. It was a timepiece done brilliantly. I actually learned a lot about that 50s era and whatever through that film. I didn't know who Johnny Cash was before I watched Walk the Line.
Did you know any of the songs?
No, of course not. Because as someone who is not from born in Western culture, everything I know about Western culture is from the day I was born forward. Yep. Because everything you know about Western culture before you were born, you learn from your parents and people who had lived through this era that you interacted with. So anything before 1990, 80s rock, 80s movies, 80s, 70s, 60s, anything is nothing to me. But that movie really introduced it to me in a really good way because a lot of the other characters you get to see, like a young James Dean, Elvis Presley, whatever. Just a great, I think fairly historically accurate. Reese Witherspoon was awesome.
She was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was really good. I think I'd probably say I'd agree with some bits of that. I knew who he was and I knew some of the songs, but I didn't know his story. I didn't know anything about his Reese Witherspoon. Yeah, nothing about that. I enjoyed that movie.
So just to add like one thing at the end. So despite not knowing anything about him, right? So I don't have that point of reference. Mm. It was still entertaining enough for me to want to know about him and about this whole era.
So that's just good.
That's kudos to the film. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because even as someone who had no idea who this person was, I still was engaged enough in the film and cared a lot about what was happening in it.
Mm. Did well, considering you were scraping the barrel trying to find a pick of
that. I also cheated a little bit because I went over the time.
All right, Tom, Apollo 13, The Wolf of Wall Street or Apocalypse Now?
I'm going to go with Apollo 13, and I'm sorry to do that to you.
I was sure you were going to do Wolf of Wall Street. I don't know why.
I didn't like that movie. It was well made. I didn't like it. I did like Apollo 13. It had Lieutenant Dan. I saw it when I was quite young, and so I still identified him as Lieutenant Dan. I remember being like, why has he got legs?
Oh, right. Yeah.
So that's where I learned about CGI. Nothing to do with the spaceships or them going around the moon.
Not even had anything to do with the movie.
It had, how has he got legs?
Yeah.
My dad loves space stuff, and he and I went and saw that together and had a great time. And
it's
so I
an
have
exciting
a strong,
movie, though.
It is, and you know, it made me question, you know, seeing it quite young, question and start looking upwards towards the stars.
Mm.
You know, a bit of a gateway drug into a lot of sci-fi. You're more interstellar or you're, you know, more adult,
10 seconds.
Grown-up sci-fi. That'll do.
Okay. I think I'm probably similar to you with that one. I didn't know the story, so it was an exciting way to be introduced to it. Kind of like you and Johnny Cash, Nabil.
Right.
I didn't know where the story went, so I didn't know if these guys lived or died. I mean, they probably wouldn't have told a story where they all died.
I mean,
that's Apollo 11.
Yeah. That's true. I'm going to pick.
And I'm guessing maybe 1 through 10. I don't know. Never looked into it.
Did any of them have a monkey or was that?
That's the very first living creature to be sent into space, and that was not a monkey. It was a dog.
It was a dog.
Laika the dog. And she was Russian?
Yep. Russian to get back to Earth.
Very good. I'm going to pick Apocalypse.
They reckon Laika lived for maybe 4 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Did she die up there?
Sad. Oh, yeah.
I never knew this. She died?
She never made it back.
She came back.
Did
just,
they?
Just frozen dead. Dog in a metal tin.
Oh, my God. That's so sad. Poor Laika.
This is why you can't watch movies with animals in them, because something sad always happens.
Dude, she had to die up there because we still treat her as a hero. She'd come back, something would have happened, like Me Too or something, and everyone cancel
Peter,
that dog.
Peter would have been all over
this. Yeah, that's right, if there was Peter. Apocalypse Now. Very long movie.
Mm.
I've only ever seen it once, but it's such an iconic film. When I watched it, I went, holy dooly. Martin Sheen? Yes, Martin Sheen.
Mm.
That's the dad's name, right?
Yeah.
He was so young in it. And I kind of emphasized the fact that these guys that went to war in Vietnam, which wasn't even their war to begin with, were so young.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know it's happened before in World War I and World War II, but I think it kind of rang home there. And the helicopters, that was an amazing scene. I think that the thing that is most iconic about the movie is the soundtrack. That soundtrack, they say, is the soundtrack to that era and to the feelings of particularly America at the time. But I must say Marlon Brando was super spooky and scary and creepy.
Mm.
And if I don't have to watch him be that creepy again, that'd be great. Thanks.
Nice.
I think I watched the director's cut, which meant it was another 4 days long.
Yep.
Sounds about right.
Just a bit hard going.
What's the doco called? The one
about it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, there's a really good.
Is it better? Would you prefer watching that than the movie?
Yeah, because I think it's a Werner Herzog film.
Oh.
And now on the river, everyone is like.
Is it mostly about Brando mumbling his way through ad-libbing his scenes?
It's
about how the crew went mad making the film. Like, it's an actual proper narrative film.
It's
a documentary.
That sounds good.
But it's all about how everyone making this film about people going insane stuck in the jungle went insane stuck in the jungle.
No joke. I'm actually putting this down for next movie now.
I can't remember what it's called. Oh, this is going to annoy me. Anyway, I watched Tropic Thunder the other day.
Great movie.
And it.
It's so funny.
It ties into everything you're talking about here.
Yeah.
What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people?
I'm the dude, dressed as a dude, disguised as another dude.
Yep.
Couldn't make that movie now because of that and also Ben Stiller's
special
Timmy or whatever his name was. Jack.
Also because of Tom Cruise's character.
All right, we're going on to films with a premise that makes you go, ooh, yikes, when you think about it too much.
I can already guess what are the movies on this list.
Yeah, well, I tried to make them generic enough, so hopefully we've all seen them. Pretty Woman. Oh, Nabil, you're first off, I think, are you?
Well, no, I just went first. When are you going to go first?
I'm the gentleman of this group.
I was going to say.
Oh, I'll go first. Pretty Woman, Mrs. Doubtfire, Home Alone, and Never Been Kissed. They're the four movies that there's a bit where you just go, I'm just not. So what I'll do is I'm going to make it easy for you guys, and I'm going to pick Never Been Kissed.
Cool. I love that film.
It's a great movie, but I watched it recently, and I must say the whole thing about, once again, it's somebody pretending to be somebody, a student. And the fact that her brother, for some reason, comes in as a student as well, just for fun. Mm. Like, how is this even legal or allowed? And then there's the real grey, creepy area, which is the whole premise to the love interest romance story, is that that teacher quite likes that student.
Mm-hmm.
We know the student's older. But whilst they're making the initial connections.
He doesn't know that.
And then the fact that the end of the movie, she's out on the pitch and she's like, I've never been kissed, I'm waiting for. And he walks out and everybody cheers. And you just go, eeh, yikes.
Yeah. I'm changing the game. I'm going to defend the film.
Go for it.
All right. Here's what it is. So to justify the movie on a moral aspect, the teacher does feel something for the student. Now, that alone by itself isn't exactly a problem, because that's just human reaction. Like, you don't choose that kind of stuff.
He didn't act on it.
And he didn't act on it. And so that's the whole point, right? You act on it, you're a criminal. If you keep it to yourself, move on, and just distract yourself, then you're a normal human being and you did the right thing. But even with that aside, forget that point, right? Why did he feel attracted to that particular student? Because even unbeknownst to him, she was, the fact that she was older, more mature, more knowledgeable, knew stuff, to his mind, to his perception, she came off more like an adult, not like a student. She didn't feel like a student. She didn't speak like a student, right? She was very out of place. And maybe the other students were like dumb and didn't notice, but he was old enough to realize this person is different. And guess what? He was right. She was different because she was not actually a student of that age. So moralistically, his actions are very justified.
Valid,
let's
There's no yikes.
There is definitely the yikes, but then upon further examination.
You just introduced Billy Madison rules.
Billy Madison rules? Yeah. From, I don't remember a lot about that film.
Okay, so Billy Madison, he's a mid-20s rich kid who has to go back and finish third grade.
Yep.
And his teacher in third grade, he manages to woo.
Right.
He's, in a third grade body. He's a grown man forced to be in class.
I get that I and Happy that. Gilmore mixed up all the time. Because
they're kind of the same film.
They're the exact same character. Yes. I have to side with Leah that I find it icky because I have a daughter.
Yeah.
But I think it's also when you watch it. Because when I watched it as a teenager or someone, and someone in my early 20s, I thought the movie was brilliant.
Yeah, I was going to say the same. I watched this when I was a kid. And to me, it was like great. Drew Barrymore's hot. And like, yeah.
And wasn't that nice that the teacher was so lovely?
Yeah.
But then, yeah, you come back and you watch it also in a different era. I mean, the way we look at things now is very different to late 90s, was it? Early 2000s?
Yeah. Grossy.
That's right. Loser on her forehead. All right, so I picked Never Been Kissed.
Mm-hmm. What are the other options again?
Pretty Woman, Mrs. Doubtfire, Home Alone.
Home Alone was just so childhood defining. I'm going with Home Alone.
Okay.
Which one, 1, 2, or 3, or just the trilogy in general?
Just the general fact the kids were at home.
They're up to five. All right. Love all the Home Alones. Actually, the very first Home Alone I watched was Home Alone 3, so not Macaulay Culkin.
Not Macaulay,
I watched those later.
Yeah.
Still loved all of them because obviously 1 and 2 are way better than 3. But because I started with 3, I had nothing else to go on. And I still loved the premise. I was like, this is what a great story. Like, that's so cool. Macaulay Culkin, I mean, he was like the world's sweetheart. He is the best child character in a comedy, I think. Like, just so adorable. You're rooting for him. He's so mischievous, but you're rooting for him the whole time.
Yeah.
Love the film's depiction of New York. In the 90s.
It was still dangerous.
As an Egyptian kid from the other side of the planet,
that
film is still stayed in my head for a very long time as what I think of New York and America feels, sounds, looks like. Right? Cozy in winter.
Yeah.
Big houses with a lot of things in them that keep you warm. Snow everywhere, Christmas, blah, blah. These are things I had never seen in my life because if you live in the Arab world, there is no snow and there is no Christmas.
It's like,
There is Christmas, but it's not widely celebrated, at least not back then. It's a lot more now, actually, because obviously...
Because the colors look pretty and people like pretty colors.
It's become a lot more commercialized today than it was back then. I guess it always was, but now it's like on steroids. I'm definitely over a minute. Just brilliant movie all around.
I forgot to start the
And
clock.
To get Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
Who had just come off.
Yeah.
not wise guys. What's it called?
Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
But he was a wise guy,
right? He was a wise guy. Funny how. And then to go on and to do something like that.
And be great at it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it was brilliant of him and just made the whole movie amazing. I think I'm thinking of Home Alone too.
You are.
Unintentionally.
110%.
Yeah. I decided midway through the argument
that was
picking,
the one you were picking. You were going for it. It is a great movie, though.
And there's a Donald Trump cameo in there.
There he is. Oh,
not on the TV version anymore.
Oh!
It's on the Disney Plus version, though. I saw it.
But on the free-to-air.
They've taken him out.
Is this presidential power?
I think it may have been a TV network choice.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. Right.
There may be some back-end deal that he got or something with that cameo.
Right.
He may get a fraction of a cent every time it's shown. And there's issues with being in Parliament.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
Tom,
sorry, that was a really boring technical answer, but actual. Everyone just learned something.
I learned something.
It's true. No, exactly. I learned something.
That's all I need. Pretty Woman or Mrs. Doubtfire?
Oh, it's going to be Mrs. Doubtfire simply because Pretty Woman is fine, but it's not one of my favorite movies.
It was yikes from the beginning, though.
Yeah, and I don't love Jason Alexander. I know. I just waited for everyone to go.
Everybody's making faces. You guys can't see it, but we're making faces.
I don't love him.
We're low-key judging. Yeah.
That's all right. I do love Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, he's very suave.
Mm-hmm.
That was before he was Bond, right?
It certainly was. This was 1993, or was Mrs. Doubtfire Bond, I believe, he kicked off GoldenEye in, I want to say, 95.
Mm.
That feels right, and I'm going to stand by it. Anyway, you've got Robin Williams playing a multifaceted character that's actually very dramatic. When you peel away the fact that it's a comedy, it's really upsetting. Mm. And, you know, it is very icky, the lengths that he goes to be with his kids, but, you know, we see fathers climb the Harbour Bridge trying to get attention for this sort of stuff. You know, people go to crazy lengths. And I can't remember his name, but the guy who's the makeup artist in the movie, Harvey. But the voice.
Yeah.
He's great.
He is great.
He is pretty good. Well done.
Thanks. I don't think I need, like, I didn't win that category. Home Alone is very strong.
But I think Mrs. Doubtfire is up there as well. Like, so many childhood memories as well. Again, it's the same thing.
Watch it again. Have a think about it as an adult, and it's all different.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Best picture winners. I've picked four, obviously, from all over the years, so that in hopes that Tom's seen one of them.
Thank you.
So I'm going to start with you. Slumdog Millionaire from 2008. Rocky from 1976. I've written six, but I feel like it was seven. I obviously Wikipedia, so six. Green Book, 2018. Silence of the Lambs, 1991.
What was the first one?
Slumdog Millionaire.
I can't believe that one, actually. I'm now curious to know what else
was
in
the second. What was the second one?
Rocky.
I've seen Rocky.
All right. Let's do Rocky. Tom, your Rocky argument starts now.
Well, I've been trying to lose some weight lately. And that music's pretty good motivation if you've got to run up the stairs at home. I've not found hanging meat to punch yet. But if I did find hanging meat, I'd probably punch it. It's early Sylvester Stallone when he was
first ever Sylvester Stallone.
Well, yeah, he was really charting his own destiny and showing how an aorta could do something in Hollywood of coming up with everything and championing their own project of this is what I am capable of. Fear me, world. He also showed that you didn't have to have clear diction to start a film, which is something that definitely.
You're going well.
More came on later.
You've churned through 45 seconds.
Oh, good. It's, I'm sure it's very inspirational. People like sports films. I don't, but a lot of people do. Yeah. They find them inspiring and motivate them to step up and do something more with their life.
One. That was well done.
Thanks.
Well, I could physically feel how painful that was for Tom.
Particularly the last few seconds. I thought that was...
I'm not a best picture category kind of guy. I'm a best special effects kind of guy.
Yeah.
Best sound editing.
God, that's such a great... God, I would have had so much more to say about Rocky. I'm not picking Rocky, but...
No, well...
I think I could guess what you're picking.
Yeah.
That's why I put it in there.
Thank you.
Slumdog Millionaire, Green Book, or Silence of the Lambs, your time starts now.
Green Book, one of my favorite... The very first time I'd actually agreed with the Academy on the best picture film. just the acting, the story, the music, the depiction of, first of all, picking the real life character, forget the acting, forget the story, just the story of the real guy, Dr. Don Shirley something, mm-hmm. To be a black gay man in the 60s America, going to the South to tour and sing play the piano. It's crazy that someone like that even existed.
Yeah.
Like fearless, absolutely
seconds.
Fearless. Everything about, God, I'm so flustered now because it is my favorite film.
I want to say all of the things really
all
quickly.
Of the things. Man, I got nothing. It was just brilliant all around. Go watch it.
Go watch it.
Yeah.
Well done.
It leaves you engorged.
Yes. Engorged is a good word.
I thought you were going to say in awe, but you didn't. And that's fine.
You connect with every character. You relate to every character.
Have you seen it? How many times do you reckon you've seen it now? Have you watched it again?
I watched it a couple in the cinemas when it came out. So I watched it once, and then there was somebody else who hadn't watched it, and they're like, oh, I was going to go. I was like, I'm coming with you.
Mm.
What film have you seen the most at the movies, and what was the shortest distance between going back?
Avengers.
The Infinity War?
Infinity War.
Yeah.
I think. I watched it 3 times in the movies. And the shortest window between going to what? I mean, I think it was with inside 10 days that I went 3 times.
Leah?
I don't know if I've seen a movie twice at the movies. Mm. I mean, when we used to get movies out from Video Easy or Blockbuster, you'd get the overnight, you'd have to watch it as many times as possible. So we would churn through a lot of kids' movies like that. And in bed with Madonna, surprisingly. In the space of 24 hours, I managed to watch that about 12 times.
What?
Yeah. I thought she was very cool at the time.
I don't think I've ever done that. Watched the same movie within the same day. That's kind of...
It's what kids do.
Yeah, I've seen School of Rock 5 times in a day.
What?
Yeah.
Are you doing something else while it's on? Or are you just...
I'm trying not to die. It's the kid.
That's not his choice.
It's not me choosing to do that. It's just like, you're happy. You're 4. You just want to watch this on a loop. That's cool. We're not watching Finding Nemo again. Happy to progress further. I saw Bring It On 4 days in a row at the cinema.
Wow.
Really?
It came out just after I finished school. I was like,
I've got 4 days.
Bring It On. Is that the cheerleaders?
Yeah. Kirsten Dunst. Yeah. It's a really good film. Very, very deep social commentary on there.
Jazz hands. Those are not jazz hands. This is jazz hands. Right?
If you go back and watch that, I think you'd really enjoy it because that film is actually about cultural appropriation.
Mm. What?
It's a really deep study in what happens when white people go and steal from African-American culture for cheerleading routines, and they intentionally stand on them to push them down and they don't get the spotlight.
Fun fact, it's actually one of my dad's favorite films.
Yeah, and that'd be why. He understands all of that.
It's a legit great movie.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I remember definitely liking it when I watched it, but I didn't think there was any like depth to it. I definitely will go back and watch it now with that in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick Silence of the Lambs because... Whilst I only watched Silence of the Lambs maybe 5 years ago, I watched the French and Saunders skit of Silence of the Lambs about 422 million times. And I enjoyed the fact that you had Sir Anthony Hopkins winning an Oscar for being Hannibal Lecter, like super scary guy. But in its place was Dawn French going and doing it just as well as him. But the movie itself was so iconic in the lead up to me watching it that you kind of knew the story already and you knew who the bad guy was. But when there were parts in it, particularly there's a blonde lady and there's a back of a van, and that was super freaky and very stressful. And I understand why both of them actually won the Oscar. And I ended up actually watching the other two, like the
Hannibal.
Hannibal and... Red Dragon before I watched Silence of the Lambs.
Sure. So Ray Liotta having a haircut is...
Oh, that is a scene.
Yeah, that's really stuck with me.
Every time I think of him, that's the scene I think of.
I'm surprised the bit you didn't mention in Silence of the Lambs, that if I think of that film, I think of Buffalo Bill with his bits tucked in saying...
He does the tuck.
Would you fuck me? Fuck me.
Oh, he's so creepy. He's
puts
so
the
creepy.
Lotion in the basket gets the holes again.
It's not a bad impression.
Pretty. Are you guys ready to get scared?
Yeah.
movies that make you hide behind the lounge.
Oh, God.
I can't remember whose turn it is to pick first. So if you want to pick first, you just
I think it's my turn.
All right.
No. Wait, I think I did. I go last time, and you because you got Green Book.
I got Green Book.
That was 10 minutes ago. Yeah. Who remembers? All right, Paranormal Activity.
Yeah,
I'll wave at you, Mr. Bill.
Yes.
The Exorcist, Poltergeist, or Us?
Okay, who's going first?
You can.
All right, I 100% like the answer I'm most sure about.
Mm.
The Exorcist. Mm. I'm talking about the original Exorcist. I will still remember, probably till the day I die, the night we watched The Exorcist. The whole evening had actually unfolded in a really interesting way. It was something, I can't put all this in 60 seconds. Long, very long story, super short. My dad took us, the whole family, to see this friend of his that he hasn't seen in 20 years. And a third friend, like the three of them used to be like the three amigos.
Yeah.
And the three of them hadn't met or seen each other in 30 years. And wow. They decided, or 20 years, however long, to like bring all their families and meet one night at one of their houses, which was in a really, really far away place. We go to their house and it's the weirdest house I've ever seen in my life until today. We ended up staying at these people's house till 5 a.m. in the morning, where the three dads are just like,
they're just talking,
reminiscing over all the decades that went by. And the kids and the wives are sort of just like, hi, nice to meet you. Like, we don't
small
all know
talk.
Each other. And eventually, one of the kids who lived in the house was like, I got a movie if you guys want to watch. And then he pulls that out and he sits all the kids down. We're the eldest and we're like 11 years old.
Oh,
and everybody else
goodness.
Is younger.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
It's The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Full version of The Exorcist. And we sit there throughout the night, 3 a.m. in this far, weird house with people we don't know watching this movie. I didn't sleep for a week.
How did you go with the staircase, running up and down the staircase scene?
Oh, my God. I still remember it till today very vividly. And I've not seen it since.
Yeah.
Just from that one time when I was 11.
It makes you hide behind the lounge, right?
Yeah.
I'm with you on that one. Tom, what about you? Paranormal Activity, Poltergeist, or Us?
Well, I'm not going to say Paranormal Activity, and we're not going to say Poltergeist, because ghosts are bullshit. And then I don't find ghost movies scary at all. So what was the other? Us.
Us.
I'll go with Us, because the idea of having an evil doppelganger that lives under the ground and come and take over my place going is a bit much.
Oh, my God, dude, that was so good.
Oh, it's just sucking inward. That's how they talk. Because they're in reverse of us. So when we talk, we exhale.
Oh,
so their language is inhaling.
So creepy. It's so creepy. Yeah,
dude, that's how the level this film is thought out. How much they are reverse
still,
of us.
It still creeps me out until today when I remember like the little girl in the mirror house coming at night. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
I love it because the neighbor, the dude is Tim Heidecker from Tim and Eric. Awesome show. Great job. And the idea of him, Mr. Silly Faces and Dumb Shenanigans, being in a Jordan Peele movie and killing it is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it ruined Lunas's I Got Five on It for me forever in a good way. But like I used to rock that in the car all the time, and now that comes
play it anymore.
Change it in the same way that the Say My Name, Destiny's Child one for Candyman.
Mm-hmm.
Another movie I can't watch.
Oh, Candyman, I mean. Not bullshit ghosts.
Mm.
Just, I don't care. I fucking hate ghosts, hey.
I mean, I grew up in a religion and a culture that obviously believes in, you know, demons and ghosts and whatever, very much like Catholicism or Christianity. And so for me as a kid, I knew they were a real thing. And when I say I knew, I mean, I was convinced they were a real thing. So the fear was very real.
Mm.
Like we had exorcists. Mm. It was a thing. So that's what made ghosts. I mean, I don't believe them today. But I think that fear is just hardwired from childhood that I would still not go watch these movies, even though my logical, rational side of my brain is telling me they're not real. The primal fear, anxiety part of my brain is like, we don't care.
Mm. Yeah, we're still going to be scared.
Yep.
Which I think is one reason why I'm so glad that televisions have gone into the digital era and that we don't have analog receivers anymore, because I don't want to look at white noise because that's when the poltergeist come out.
Yep.
And that movie did scare me a lot when I first watched it growing up. I think I was probably, maybe 11, around the same age as you watching The Exorcist, and that was around the time when if there was something wrong with your reception or for some reason SBS decided it had finished for the night, it just went on to that.
You get static.
It was just that static and it was super creepy. I mean, I was quite happy that and convinced that my Californian bungalow on the North Shore of Sydney was probably not built over a American Indian
burial ground.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with that. But just the fact that I could have gone somewhere where that would have happened, I didn't want anything to do with it. And then I read like up on the actress afterwards and she didn't have a lot of fun.
Wait, isn't that what happened with The Exorcist? She was actually...
That's the poltergeist.
Curse of Exorcist.
Yeah, the Curse of Exorcist. The girl who acted, who played the girl, she then went on to suffer from something, or she was herself terrified by the film, just traumatized by the film somehow, or is that the poltergeist? I always thought that happened to the girl from The Exorcist.
I just need to do a little spot of IDMing because I feel like she is the mother of a particular actor. I just need to... Oh, that's right. Ellen Burstyn was in that. Linda Blair. Isn't Linda Blair...
Yeah, The Exorcist.
...the mother of... from The Goonies?
I mean, I just Googled The Exorcist actress.
Aston?
Sean Astin. Is that the same...
From The Goonies. You're going to pull... Who do you know? Oh, that's right. The Goonies. Not fucking Samwise.
Yeah, I'll buy pick my favorite movie.
Okay. What about 50 First Dates? He's fantastic at 50 First Dates.
No, I'm sorry. Patty Duke was his mother. You're wrong. I got it wrong.
All right.
I got it wrong. What are we up to?
I think you were going.
Done that. So Poltergeist, super scary.
Yeah.
Let's go Aussie now.
All right.
Australian Aussie movie.
Ooh.
Tom, you get to pick from Babe, Mad Max Fury Road, The Castle, and Crocodile Dundee. I've gone with like the big, you know, big ones. Yeah. Gone big ones.
You've missed The Castle.
I said The Castle.
Oh, you did say The Castle. Okay, sorry. In my head, I'm like, is she going to say Getting Square? Or Two Hands?
Two Hands was,
that were in consideration?
Yeah.
Well, then I have to take The Castle and represent Australian comedy.
It's going straight to the pool room.
Straight to the pool room. I feel that is the genre of film that we do best. There are very few films that we do well, but comedy, we knock it out of park. It's the team that went on to make The Dish afterwards and do plenty of great stuff. There are a lot of people very early in their careers that you can see before they're fully formed, your Eric Banner and all this stuff. And it's just the most quotable Australian film ever. It, for Australians, is what everyone else in the world thinks Crocodile Dundee would be.
You don't even know the name of
Australia.
Crocodile Dundee. That's how...
It's the equivalent of Foster's. None of us drink Foster's. You can't get Foster's in Australia. That's the bullshit that we sell to the rest of the world. That was what Crocodile Dundee is. Watch a movie called The Castle. I think it should be part of the citizenship test for Australia.
Wow.
That you have to identify one of three quotes from The Castle.
It's just the vibe, man, of the Constitution.
Tell him he's dreaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the vibe. It's Marbo. It's the Constitution. And it just, it's so quotable.
Wow. I have never even heard of it.
Oh.
Pop that on the list.
Yep. That number one. Like, go home and watch that today.
I actually will.
Good, because that will open your eyes. Then you'll
That'll
say,
rock you know, your world.
I have a cousin visiting from overseas as well. We're going on a let's explore Australia kind of thing.
Sit there for an hour and a half and you'll not only see all the quotable stuff, but you'll see iconic Australian movie actors.
Yes. Wow. And a lot of you go to the High Court in Canberra. You visit some really classy places.
Wait, is it a comedy?
It's very much a comedy. It's a small a family who... very struggling and make ends meet kind of thing. Almost not parasite, but like these are the people that are constantly scanning through the trading post looking for great deals or how can they bargain things down. Their house is like connected to the airport and the airport needs to expand and they're buying up all the houses around and these guys refuse to sell. And that's the setup. A man's home is his castle.
Is his castle. Okay, I get it.
And it is the little guy fighting back against the big machine, but it is super duper Australian. So everyone talks like this, buddy, and this friend.
And we're all going to Bonny Doon.
Even the people in the court are like, you can't behave like this. Like real Ocker Aussie.
Love it. It's great. Love it. Excellent. Yeah. Castle.
Castle.
Bud Tingwell. I went too long. Sorry, but
that's fine. Babe, Mad Max Fury Road, or Crocodile Dundee?
Mad Max Fury Road is the one from a couple of years ago.
Correct. Yep.
Is that classified as a purely Australian film?
It's George Miller. He's Aussie.
Australian enough, I guess. Mad Max Fury Road. Furiosa sells that movie for me. I have no idea what Tom Hardy may as well have not been in the film. He had like three lines.
That's the point.
I guess it could be a point. I just like he's got a lot more to give as an actor, I think, and that movie just, I don't know, it didn't really show off his badassery.
But when you think about movies that he's been in, that's one that comes up.
He got to be in a mask.
Yeah, not to me. He's really? He's forever Bane for my generation.
Or Venom.
Or he was all right in Venom. Oh, Venom was an all right film, but like by no means my favorite superhero film.
I've gone back to that a couple of times.
Really?
Yeah, there's like a Deadpoolish one of like, oh, this is weirdly rewatchable.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't say second I felt the same coming way about Venom. Yeah, so definitely Mad Max Fury, everything about it, the music, oh my God, the fucking like guitar hanging from a truck, speeding down the desert, playing like sick guitar riffs while shooting fire. Like how many, and that's all in one scene. That's in one frame.
It's so blokey.
Yeah, it is very blokey. And
if you've got testosterone anywhere in your body, you're going to love that movie.
You know, that's a word I learned like in my late 20s.
Which one?
Bloke.
Oh, yeah.
People don't say that outside of Australia. Do you know what bloke is?
Nabil is now talking to his cousin, who's not near a microphone.
If I say the word bloke to you, you've traveled to how many countries around the world? So she's been to 60 countries. She's lived abroad in many places, and you've never heard the word bloke.
Nope.
It's Australian for guy.
Bloke is a mate you haven't made mates with yet.
Okay.
Just like it's Australian for dude.
Yeah. That's a guy you don't know yet. Bloke.
Bloke.
Who's that bloke?
Yeah. So she's saying it's very blokey.
Yeah. It's really.
It's like a guy
very
film.
Guyish. Yeah, that's right.
What about boof? Do you know boof?
Oh, if you don't know bloke, you don't know boof.
I don't know boof.
Boof is good. Boof head.
Yeah, boof head.
What's boof?
It's like a bogan way of saying, oh, you silly. I was going to say silly duffer.
Silly
but that's,
duffer.
Ah, you silly
English,
Billy.
English say the word numpty.
So it's like an airhead?
Yeah, it's just
you've done head. A silly thing.
Numbnuts.
Yeah, it's not like saying, it's not quite at the point of going, oh, you dickhead.
Okay. Not to that extent, just like a couple of steps.
Good work, Buffhead. So I call my daughter Buffhead.
Yeah.
It's that sort of thing. Yeah. It's a term of endearment sort
does
of
she
thing.
Push back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Daddy Buff.
You're Daddy Buff.
That's very cute. Have I done one?
No.
No.
I'm not doing Crocodile Dundee, so good. I'll do Babe. Babe was a wonderful, loving movie from the...
95?
Okay.
Is that about the pig?
It's about the pig. La, la, la. Was that George Miller?
Yeah,
so we've got a couple of his movies in there.
Wait, the same guy who did Mad Max? It's the same guy who did the movie about the pig?
Yep. You know, a lot of those, because they had to have a lot of pigs, obviously, because piglets grow up really quickly, so they needed to churn through them really quickly. So what they did with them, once
poor
they
choice
finished,
of words there.
I know, but it's going to be it was a good story at the end. What they did with them once they grew too big was they went off to schools to become part of like the agricultural educational aspect for schools in the wider area. So it was a feel good movie on and off the set.
Not approved by PETA, just saying.
But fuck
probably not. I'd say not. I can't actually remember much of the movie. I don't even remember the premise. There were mice. That was fun.
There were cute piggies in it. That's what matters.
Piglet's mother gets taken away. Piglet gets raised by dogs.
And it goes and does the dog
thinks the pig thinks it's
thing.
A dog.
Okay.
Gets into shepherding. That'll do, pig.
That'll do, pig. That's that'll right.
Do. Does the pig talk?
Yes, but not to humans.
Right, but it's like
they can talk to each other.
Yeah,
and it's not peanut voice. Butter. Yeah, it's not peanut butter in the mouth. It's CGI done.
Yes. Yeah.
It was a film that I had largely forgotten as well. And I sat down with Shay and it is a beautiful film. It really holds up. It's like what the live action Lion King wanted to be.
Mm.
This film, I think by sticking to barnyard animals and animals that we quite often anthropomorphize anyway and imagine animals talking, because that it doesn't bother the face as much, you just let it happen.
Mm. Bit of cultural perspective here. Not in the Arab world. I saw this movie once when it came on TV in Qatar, where I used to live, and everything in it flew over all of our heads because we have never seen pigs. I mean, we know what a pig looks like, but we don't eat them. We don't have them. There are no farms with pigs on them. It's just not a thing. And so, like, Arab kids don't really relate to pigs. And they certainly don't think of them as, like, oh, cute, fluffy, like, lovable animals. If they even think of a pig, usually the first thought is haram. Like, that would be the, which is, like, forbidden. The opposite of halal.
Sure.
Yeah. But now I obviously, like, see, because I have a bit more of a cultural, I've expanded, like, my cultural perspective. So, like, I see how they can be looked at that way.
Babe.
Yeah.
You can watch that movie now and go, ah.
Yeah.
It's a silly duffer buff head bloke.
My wife calls our dog Piggy all the time. And I think she quotes Babe quite a lot.
Yeah, actually. Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to finish on one last category, and this is a big one.
All right.
Greatest movie franchise. Now, I know somebody's going to say, but you missed out this, but I could only put in four because they were the rules that I set for myself.
All right.
Nabil, I'll let you pick first because you are the guest and it's the final one.
Thank you.
Star Wars, James Bond, Marvel, Harry Potter.
It has to be Marvel, and there are plenty of reasons. 22 films. I will go ahead and say it is the most ambitious franchise project ever undertaken successfully, whether today or historically. None of them, and I mean none of them, not even Star Wars, not Trek, not anything, had the vision and the farsightedness of Kevin Feige to create a chronological timeline that makes sense, that anybody, whether they were into comic books or not, could follow, engage in, be part of, and just understand. It was perfect, beginning to end, setting up the world, introducing characters slowly over time. The character development over it, you could think of the 22 films as watching a 22 episode series where every episode is an hour and a half long, and it would make perfect sense. It's that well connected.
And that they all have to interconnect, but bring in new ideas, but not overload people so that when it gets to Endgame and Infinity War, it's not confusing.
And of course, it's got inconsistencies, and of course, you can find plot holes, and of course, but nothing. There's nothing that doesn't have that. Everything has that. And so if you get nitpicky, you're going to find them. But you don't really get to understand the sheer size of it until that final scene, Avengers Assemble in Endgame. And you see all the characters coming out of the Doctor Strange portals or whatever. Mm. And it's only then when you see every single hero that you have come to know over the last 11 years or however long it was since the franchise started, that you realize, holy shit, like, I can name 50 main characters from all these movies. I know them. I know where they came from. I know their stories. I actually compared it at the time to, it's very akin to watching long form animes like Dragon Ball Z and Naruto and coming to the final boss fight, because one thing that these animes do very, very well is insane character development and motivation. And you know where every character is coming from. You know their whole story. You know why they're doing what they're doing, what they used to believe, what they believe now, how they were broken by their traumas and triumphed over them. And there, no other franchise on this list had done that. Star Wars, it just tells episodic stories. Yes, they're connected, but the power and carryover of the characters is not the same. What else was on the list?
James Bond and Harry Potter.
Marvel, MCU.
I mean, it was an easy argument to make, but you did a great job.
I did get to go first as well.
So, Tom, which one are you going to pick?
Look, he took my answer, but Harry Potter is very, very close. And that Harry Potter is the inspiration for the Marvel Universe, because what Feige determined from those Harry Potter films is that they're very different to Star Wars. As you say, Star Wars episodic. Harry Potter is telling one consecutive story in episodic parts. And the fact of the matter is that he would take his kids to see that film once a year and sit there and enjoy it for 2.5 hours, not think about it for another 12 months, sit down excited for the next one. It didn't matter what happened the next one, like the previous one. He was there for the experience, and that's what he took over to Marvel. And I love those Harry Potter films. My daughter loves them. We sit and we re-watch them all the time. You don't have to watch them in order. You don't have to watch number 7 at all, which is great because that's just a lot of walking and arguing and tense. But as a whole thing, it's amazing. And then I love Harry Potter for what how it has changed the theme park industry, because the things that Universal have done with it over the last decade have completely shifted the game, and Disney have had to race to catch up to them, and they have instigated what will be the next 20 to 25 years of interactive entertainment.
And Harry Potter is just one story, yet it finished however many years ago, but it's still in the top of people's minds now.
Oh, yeah.
And look, it's still totally watchable.
Look, Fantastic Beasts can get fucked.
Yep.
Sorry for the rudeness, but, you know, I love Harry Potter and I can't stand those movies.
Yeah. That's sad.
I literally slept through them. You know how difficult it is for me to sleep through a movie? You know how difficult it is for me to sleep just generally?
Oh, yeah.
I hate Johnny Depp. Ugh.
I did not hate him. But now I also feel sorry for him because of blah,
there's
blah,
just
blah,
a whole lot of stuff. Yeah. You can get...
Come on, Captain Jack Sparrow, man. Like when it first came out, before they milked the shit out of it.
Mm. Sure, he's great in that.
Yeah. Mm.
First one.
Oh, come on. I had a second and the third at least.
Five? Yeah,
no.
Dude, he's an ancillary C-tier character that they suddenly bumped up. They forgot that those films was about the other two.
Yeah, I know.
But they'd gone.
Yeah, cool. But, like, don't... Yeah. I don't want to see Animal House that's following Bluto.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there are characters that work in tiny doses and are very memorable, but like...
No, they fucked that. They definitely took that. They're like, okay, that's what people like. Let's just push that all the way until nobody ever wants to see it again.
Yeah, and that's what's happened.
Yeah.
So I think out of Bond and Star Wars, I'm going to go for Star Wars. Because of how forgiving audiences can be.
Sure.
Because people grew up watching Star Wars. So for them, the nostalgia factor, and for myself, is so high, and it's like a really strong bubble around you that you will go keep watching stuff that's Star Wars related, assuming it's going to be great, even though we've sat through all the prequels and the last two movies of this latest trilogy were not great. But, you know, we're still going, oh, what's Disney Plus going to bring next? Oh, can't wait to see whatever it's going to be, whether it be Obi-Wan or, Mandalorian is actually quite good. But Star Wars and the nostalgia around Star Wars has made fans and audience alike very forgiving, and I think that's not something that a lot of franchises have got.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Do you want to show us on the doll where the Star Wars touched you? that's you sounded like there was an abusive relationship.
Well, actually, you know,
no, he'll change.
You know, the category that said you want to hide behind the lounge.
Yeah.
I used to legitimately hide behind the lounge when Darth Vader would be on.
Really?
Yeah, when I was a little kid.
Wow.
Yeah. In the beginning, when he went up to talk to Princess Leia, I'd be like, I'm just going to hang out over there for a second once he's gone. Yeah. I think we did really well. That's a lot
of debating.
Yeah.
In fact, mass debating.
Yes, mass debating.
Oh, slow clap. Oh.
Waited all show.
Oh, my God. When we were in this one debating competition, one of my teammates actually legitimately signed us up as the master debaters.
Did it get through?
It did get through.
Ridiculous.
Because it just went right over their heads.
They were just too busy. They're like, fine, whatever. Just, yes, that'll be it. Nabil, thank you so much for coming. I honestly cannot think of somebody better for this.
Oh, my God.
Apart from the fact that you also came up with the idea. But
I'm honestly, this is the most I have fun sitting in front of a microphone.
And he does it a lot.
He does it a lot.
And I have done that. I think I have close to 10,000 hours on the mic. Whew. So, yeah.
Wow.
Thanks for having me.
We've managed to steal about 6 of those. I'm impressed. We'll definitely have you on again very soon. On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
This is what it would sound like if Iron Mike Tyson was going to try and join the math debating team. Hey, guys, is this where I can come in for the math debating?
Poor Tyson, man. He's never going to live that down.